Welcome to They That Hope with Father Dave and Bob, seeing humor and hope in a crazy world. And I'm Bob.
And I'm Father Dave.
Hey, Father Dave.
How are you, Dr. Rice?
I'm doing well, Father Pavanka. How are you?
Very nice, thank you.
And we are really glad for you listening, joining us in the midst of your busyness, in the midst of Christmas preparations and Advent patience, taking some time with us to be a part of this conversation where we talk about hope. It's such a blessing to hear from you guys and the emails you sent. hope@franciscan.edu. I'll get it right someday.
One job, man. One job.
No, I have to hit buttons and stuff.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, it's wonderful to have you with us. And yeah, what a beautiful time of year it is. It's so weird, though. Miss the students.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I miss them.
Say that with more conviction.
Well, I was just saying, it was such a great semester, though. Honestly, going into it with wondering what this was going to look like and how this was going to work out, it was a great semester.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the students just inspire me. The way they kind of embraced some of the things that had to be done, they were just great.
Yeah, they're a sign of hope. And if any of you are listening, we're praying for you as you're finishing your projects and your finals. And if any faculty are listening, we're praying for you.
Thank you.
It's a crazy time of year.
It is funny when I was teaching, being on the other side of that desk, just a whole new perspective. The faculty aren't terribly different, truth be told.
A student will complain like, oh, I had to write a 12-page paper for this class. And I'm like, I had to grade 25 12-page pages exactly. Class. And then they say, well, why don't you just make it 8? And I'm thinking, that's a really good idea. But I don't know, I feel this conviction of making them learn something.
Well, that's a good thing. That's why we're here.
That's right. Amen. So,
but it's just kind of a weird time. Like this week, I guess just because, well, honestly, because the students were probably studying, there was less going on. I had some free time and you were very helpful and I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I texted Bob and I said, Bob, you know, I've got a free evening. The Friars were just kind of sitting around. What would be a good Marvel movie to watch?
Yeah.
And your first suggestion was?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
And I said.
You've seen it.
So many times.
Is that right?
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
That's a great movie.
It really is.
Great soundtrack.
I remember when it came out too, it was such a surprise because that's not like. That wasn't like an A-list comic book. I mean, obviously you start with Iron Man and you go
obviously,
Captain America.
Absolutely.
Yeah, obviously. Hulk, right? Yeah. Spider-Man. And then it was like, and we're going to make Guardians of the Galaxy. And everyone's like, what? Like, why would you do such a thing? Yeah. But now we know.
Okay, and let's just point out a difference between us.
Okay.
You spoke of being on top of this before the movie even came out. Yeah, like you heard this was coming out and there's this group that's having a conversation about it. Our worlds are just different.
I was going through my banker boxes of comic books and I'm like, did I ever read these guys when I was younger? And no, I didn't see anything there. But then then the other suggestion I had was Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Right. Which I had seen it, but I just wasn't sure. Let me just say 95%, at least in the past, of the movies that I've ever seen over the last 12 years have been on the plane.
Yeah.
So that was one of them. So I said, that just didn't stick well. And then your final, you nailed it.
Winter Soldier, Captain America, Winter Soldier. Great. Probably one of the top three Marvel movies,
I think. It was great. It was just, honestly, it was just nice to just kind of relax and watch a movie and get caught up in it. So it was great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun for the season.
Yep. Now, nothing says Advent like Captain America.
No, or like Star Wars. So now, do you watch The Mandalorian?
No.
Do you even know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea. I thought that was a musical instrument.
It is. That's a good one. No.
And then also, isn't
I think
it
Captain Bandelli's Mandalorian.
Something that you can peel potatoes or you do something with potatoes.
No, it's a.
They'll tell me what it is.
It's a bounty hunter. So you remember Boba Fett, please?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. You know Star Wars.
Of course.
Yeah, the guy with the cool helmet.
Don't patronize me.
I don't know
me.
Where to go. I just don't know. I just don't even have a map here to figure out where you are. Okay. So, Disney Plus started a show called The Mandalorian, which is about a guy in Boba Fett-esque armor. You know Baby Yoda? Have you seen pictures of little Baby Yoda? It's like the most popular thing on planet Earth. You're on the internet. Anyway.
Not apparently the same sites you
are. Yeah, that's probably true.
Which may be good.
So The Mandalorian, his name is Mando.
Lorian's his last name.
I guess so. I guess it's Mr. Lorian to you, sir. The first episode, he has a bounty and it ends up being Baby Yoda. And he realizes he can't turn this little cute baby over to the Empire. So he goes rogue and people are trying to hunt him down while he's doing it. So it's like a Western in space. It's really, really cool. Anyway, the most exciting thing happened this week, Forgive me if I'm spoiling it for you, but it's okay.
We should have some rules about this. Like how long do we need to give somebody to watch a show before we put out spoilers?
Mandalorian, 12 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but it's also been a little bit of
Do people actually watch it, or is this just you?
No, it's like one of the most popular shows out there. No, trust me, it's not just me. Anyway, I just want to get to my point. Signs
of
hope.
There is one.
This is a huge sign of hope, okay?
Oh, I can't wait.
We all remember.
Sit down, folks.
Buckle up. We all remember in the beginning of Return of the Jedi.
We all remember.
We all remember when Boba Fett fell into the Sarlacc pit. Right?
This is unbelievable. Everybody's turned the podcast off and they said, we'll come back
next
week.
No, our ratings are, we're going to get dozens more listeners because of this. Yeah, yeah. Dozens, my friend. So anyway, in the beginning of Return of the Jedi, Boba Fett, who is one of the coolest Star Wars characters ever, just dies fairly quickly. Like he gets basically knocked into a pit, which is a monster. And then the monster burps. Insinuating his demise.
Right.
Well, Mandalorian, he shows up, baby. He got out of the pit and he gets his armor back and he kicks butt. And it was like the most exciting thing I've seen in a very long time.
Can I just suggest you need to get help more?
Well, it just makes me happy.
That's awesome. And my guess is your boys and maybe your girls, is it? Or watch it together.
Yeah,
and
we watch it as if,
yeah.
It's high fives, jumping around, celebrations galore.
Well, I would love an invitation some night to watch Mandalorian.
Absolutely.
That'd be great.
Yeah,
that'd
absolutely.
Great. The other thing, the other cool thing was some good friends of ours and the Poyos who know.
Yeah, right.
And many of our listeners know that. They're moving down to Texas, apparently want to be closer to kids and grandkids. So, yeah, we just spent part of an evening together. And it was just, I was just thinking, good friends and just a meal, laughter, stories. It was just a wonderful evening.
Yeah, praise God.
Be able to have time for that. My hope and my prayers for those who are listening in this next couple of weeks that you're just able to do that. Make time for people and just to relax a little bit and
even
to watch
for those,
Mandalorian.
Right, and for those of you stuck at home in isolation or quarantine, I feel like every other day somebody's in quarantine.
Tell me whether it's over Zoom or Skype.
The
world of the
fairy
right now.
Oh, that's right. But you're free and clear.
I am. No kryptonite for me. I just kind of walk in and out of anything, man. There's that confidence and a boldness right now.
You cannot be quarantined.
My chest is a little bit broader. I'm just ready to go.
Oh, that's right. I can't get sick.
That's right. Oh, really?
I'm a COVID survivor.
I'll put on a mask, but I don't need to. Anyway.
So,
yeah,
so take time with friends
and
whether Zoom or in person, that's part of what the season's about.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's also a season of music. Check out this transition. And we have music programs here at Franciscan University.
Really
we do. We have a music ministry course, a music ministry minor, a lot of really wonderful things happening here at Franciscan University. So specifically, we have a music ministry minor. One of the main courses is one that I get to teach, Introduction to Music Ministry, with my good friend Matt Marr. Reached out to Matt a number of years ago. If you don't know Matt, he's a Catholic singer, songwriter, lots of popular, wonderful tunes. I reached out to him a few years ago with this idea. He was all on board with it. I mean, he just got really excited. Went down to Nashville a number of times. We worked on the course together. He filmed some videos. I filmed some videos. We got a great group of people in from Nashville and Steubenville alums and others. And it's really just this great course of numerous music ministers sharing about the art and science, really, of music ministry, how to do it in the liturgy, how to do it outside the liturgy. And so that's a course we have on ground and online. We have a music ministry minor, which adds courses in theory, adds a theology course in liturgy, and then just the whole campus. There's so many wonderful experiences here to be involved in music ministry. And that's part of why this center is here, the George Music Center, is so that students can practice and do more. So if you want to know more about Franciscan's music ministry minor, you can send an email to admissions@franciscan.edu. That's admissions@franciscan.edu.
Phenomenal. You did really, really good with that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're excellent. Getting better at that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
getting better.
Way better that thing. Yeah. You're right.
Gosh, thank you.
Yeah. Gee.
Anyway, let's talk about something else.
Well, the thing is we had spoken a little bit last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, about Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Oh, right. Our Lady of Guadalupe. Oh, that should also tie in, by the way, those of you listening to the podcast as it gets close to being released, on December 11th and 12th, 12th being the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, we have the Night of Hope. And that is a free online night of adoration and inspirational talk and worship. Father Dave's doing the adoration. I'm doing the... No, you'll
I'm
do the talk.
I'm doing talk Friday night, right?
Okay, right. But the free thing is...
Saturday evening.
It's Saturday evening is the Night
of
Hope.
Right.
So you're doing the adoration. Mm-hmm. I'm doing the music. And I believe Mary Bielski's doing the talk.
I believe so.
Please join us the evening of December 12th from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. For the full schedule and to register for free, go to steubenvilleconferences.com. That's steubenvilleconferences.com. And if you happen to be listening to this podcast after December 12th, it will be available online and you can enjoy it at any time. So once again, go to steubenvilleconferences.com to find out more information.
Yeah, totally, totally. But it'll be a great night. And again, it's on Our Lady of Guadalupe, and we talked a little bit about maybe last week just how special she is. And one of the most beautiful stories that I've ever been a part of was actually in Guadalupe. We took a group of people down there. I think I've gone down there maybe three times.
Okay.
And there's this one gentleman, he was just really animated and charismatic and fun and the life of the party. Always sat at the front of the bus and just made everybody laugh. And so we go to Guadalupe and it's just beautiful. The devotion of the people, the main basilica, because it's a little weird. Have you ever seen pictures of it?
Now this isn't in Mexico City. This is actually the town of Guadalupe?
No, Guadalupe is in the middle of Mexico City.
Oh, okay. Yep. Good to know.
Yeah, so you go into the basilica and there's like these moving sidewalks that are in front of the Tilma, the image of Our Lady, because they don't
You mean like at the airport?
Yeah, exactly, okay. Like at the airport. So they have three of them going different directions. Because they don't want people, you just stand there in front of it the whole time.
Right,
so it is a little weird, okay? Right. So you get on this moving sidewalk and it moves you and you can go the other direction. That's a little weird and awkward. You need to get used to that.
That's the same thing with the crown jewels.
Yeah.
If you've ever been there.
Yep. So, but the other cool thing is the basilica, there's probably 20 chapels. It's a two-level basilica, and there's 20 chapels, all of which, when you're going to liturgy, you're looking at the Tilma. And it's just really, really, really beautiful.
They're all kind of angled that way,
exactly,
that you get to see it?
Exactly. So that's really cool. So when you celebrate the Eucharist and you raise the Eucharist for adoration. People see the Eucharist and then they see Our Lady. It's really, really cool. Mm. But so we have this experience of being in Guadalupe.
That's when you want to do it ad orientem.
Yes.
Because you want to look at the Tilma.
Yeah. Amen to that, brother.
Yeah.
So we come back to the bus and this guy who's always, you know, very jovial is in the back of the bus. And I thought maybe he wasn't feeling well. He had his head down on the seat. So I walked back and I realized that he was crying. He was just kind of weeping.
I thought he was going to be dead.
No. That would not have been a great story. Yeah, that would not have been a great story.
Yeah.
So I just asked him. I said, you know, what's up? And it was just really beautiful. He said, you know, I was watching the people, the devotion of the Mexican people, and I was just moved by their love of the Our Lady. But then also there was a mass that was being celebrated, and he said the love of the Eucharist. And he said, and then in that moment, I realized that I have been prejudiced against Mexicans my whole life. Mm. He said, you know, he's very successful. And he said, I would take advantage of them. And I said they were the lazy and they weren't smart and all these kinds of things. And you hear about these moments, like Paul, you know, on the road to Damascus, this moment of conversion and change. It was just this beautifully graced moment in this man's life that he changed. He saw a prejudice, he saw a sin, and this moment that, this metanoia moment, right, that changed him and converted him. And then the thing is, this cool about Our Lady of Guadalupe is what happened for him happened for...
So many.
Yeah, so many
millions,
people. Right,
millions
right.
And millions of people. You know, there's such a fascinating parallel with Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared while the Protestant Reformation was going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, in Europe, you've got hundreds of thousands of people leaving the church. And then in the New World, you've got millions joining the church because of this incredible gift. I mean, the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, we have a pretty large one in our living room.
And yes, you too.
Yeah, it's so awesome. Well, you know, I love what Scott Hahn, he calls it the divine selfie.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we just take for granted that it's not an image made of human hands. This isn't a painting.
Contrary to what Hillary Clinton asked.
Is that right?
When they took her down there and she viewed it, she asked him who painted it.
God.
It's like, yeah, it's like her advanced people maybe should have given her
a
heads up.
Just a little bit of that. Yeah. So, it's just amazing that is an image from heaven. I mean, an image from God, and how beautiful it is. You know, I think it's always amazing that, you know, Mary doesn't look like what Mary looked like, right? Didn't look like a Jewish woman.
She looked like a local.
He looked like a local, you know, the Matista face. I mean, just an incredible gift. I also love, Juan Diego. I've gotten an opportunity just to learn more about Juan Diego, particularly when John Paul II came to the Americas and he canonized Juan Diego. Just a fascinating character. I mean, Our Lady has appeared to many people, but almost always children. So you have this guy in his 50s who she appears to, and he was apparently just such a humble servant, such a humble man. And in fact, when St. John Paul II was canonizing him, he said, you know, shared that often people of that area would say as a blessing, may your children be like Juan Diego, mm-hmm. you know, like that, like he was the model of holiness. And that's just so important.
You know, was probably never said about me.
May your children be like David.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah,
goodness.
Me neither.
Have mercy.
But that just shows like, you know, there's always a witness that goes with it, right? It's not just God's work. God's work always graciously involves human witness, human testimony. I mean, John the Baptist and Jesus, right? Like he just allows us to participate in that mission and in his life. And in a sense, we as frail and sinful humans need another frail and sinful human to be able to point in the right direction. And God uses those witnesses in all of our lives. And certainly you can't separate Juan Diego from Our Lady of Guadalupe. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really the same story. And so it's beautiful that Wednesday we celebrate the feast of Juan Diego. And, you know, on the 9th, and then on the 12th, we celebrate Our Lady Guadalupe, which is just a way to celebrate all those days from her first appearance to the miracle of the tilma, and just such a gift.
Yeah, and one of the things I just love about it is, and it's the nature of the incarnation is that God meets us where we are.
Yeah.
You know, that it's very humble, it's very simple. I joke that when you're there, it's... Yeah, again, the simplicity of it, so beautiful. If I was God, it would have been, you know, a volcano with fire going right. out, and the fire would put in letters and smoke, repent. And rather what he does is an image of a simple pregnant woman.
Yeah.
And that moves the hearts of the people. And again, it goes to what we've talked about so many times in this, and inviting the listeners to be able to discover that, to discover the Lord in the ordinary, in the simple, in the everyday thing that's going around us. And yes, the Lord kind of sometimes reveals himself to us in these magnificent, you know, moments, which that gentleman had in Guadalupe. But so often also in those very, very simple, mundane experiences that the Lord is present.
And you see in that experience, you know, you mentioned the faith of the Mexican people. One important thing I think to remember about Our Lady of Guadalupe is she's not just somebody for the Mexican people, like for all the Americas. I mean, really, she's the patroness of all the Americas. I had an interesting conversation. I was with kind of on a national call with people in leadership of youth and young adult ministry. And I don't remember the context, but I was talking about we should say something regarding Our Lady of Guadalupe. And there were some Peruvians on the call it's funny because I think they thought I was trying to be like a woke white guy. Let's mention the Latino thing. And they're like, that's a Mexican thing, which was funny that they would say, no, that's, even people like in Central and South America, they're like, no, that's just a Mexican thing. And I was trying to say like, no, that's all of us thing. Yeah. I mean, really, you just think about the miraculous appearances of our Blessed Mother. I mean, obviously Fatima is amazing, but like Our Lady of Guadalupe, there's just something about it that like she left us something behind. I think that's just what is the real gift of it. Like, there's proof to this. There's evidence. Yeah. Like people have tried to debunk this unsuccessfully. I mean, it's like that in the Shroud of Turin. I mean, we have these things that are real and are present and
that
God
are tangible,
and
that
God
are
leaves us to remind us that He is God, yeah. And the faith is real, and Mary is our mother, and yeah, that's just such a gift.
Alan Schreck obviously teaches here at the university, and I love Alan Schreck and his faithfulness for so many decades. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that he speaks of so much about is the incarnational principle that God uses stuff to reveal himself, first and foremost in the person of Jesus, that he takes flesh, he becomes one of us. You can see him, touch him. Obviously in the Eucharist, you can see, touch, incense, you can smell.
Thanks.
You can't. I love incense.
I can't smell anything.
Well, that's your issue. All right. It sounds like maybe you've got COVID 24/7.
Yeah. Yeah, I had COVID before COVID was cool.
You're going to have to find another symptom to talk
that's
about.
That's right.
And maybe you'll smell. Wouldn't that be amazing if you could get COVID and start smelling?
Ooh, it'd be like an inverse thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's so you're talking about incense, just, Eucharist, touching.
Just that God uses the stuff to be able to reveal himself. And the Tilma is exactly that he used that, Our Lady uses that to draw people closer to him and closer to her. So
praise
God.
What
a blessing.
What a blessing. Amen. Well, speaking of stuff that can draw us closer to God, we want to do a shout out to a good friend of ours, alumni of Franciscan, used to work at the conference office, Rachel Meyer. Rachel, you maybe have heard of Elf on a Shelf. Have you heard of Elf on a Shelf?
I've heard of it. I just think it's weird.
I don't
I'm just saying.
Well, tell me more about it, because I've heard of it, but I'm not exactly sure what it is.
Apparently, it's an elf and it moves around in the house.
Okay.
And
it's like Dobby?
Yeah, exactly. And the elf is watching to make sure the kids are behaving.
Oh, that's creepy.
I think it sounds like weird bribery stuff, but
you know,
it'd
be great if they made like a nanny cam elf, so the elf was actually watching them, like had like a little camera in there, and then you could replay.
Sounds like a business idea for me.
That's, well, maybe I'll do that next year, but I think Rachel thought of a better idea.
Okay.
It's the same idea behind Elf on a Shelf, except it's a star. And it's about following the star of Bethlehem.
Oh,
and
nice.
So what you do is you move the star around in different places of the house, and then you end up bringing it.
Have
the kids looking for it, and then eventually you put it over the nativity, which is really cool. It's a simple and beautiful idea. Yeah, good job. So if you want to find out more about that, she's got a Facebook page, facebook.com/followthegoldenstar. Follow the Golden Star.
What is this Facebook of which you speak?
Yes, it's a place called...
Anyway.
We'll just move on.
Yeah. All right.
Speaking of the star, though, apparently, like, the Christmas star is going to show up, like, for the first time in 800 years.
I just saw a headline about that. I don't know what that's about.
Well, it's an alignment. Oh, I didn't prep this well. It's an alignment of two planets. I think it's Jupiter and Mars. Okay. And we're like, every 800 years, they come so close together that it looks like one celestial object, one really bright thing. And so that's, many people have suggested that was actually the star that the wise men followed. And there's some really cool things on that. I might be getting it wrong. Do a Google search.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Well, no, I know I'm in the right vicinity of it. Anyway, I apparently if you're on the West Coast, you're going to get to see it. I was trying to figure out if we could see
it.
I know, right? Exactly. Well, they need something. They're all
in
isolation.
When is it? Like on Christmas Eve?
Well, it's happening soon.
Maybe we should, we'll pick up this next week.
Yeah, well, I'll try to find out. Probably by next week it'll be done and I can say you missed it, but it was good. Anyway. But if you can't do it, just go on Facebook and follow the Golden Star and you can get that.
All right. That's close enough.
Yeah. Good deal. And are you ready to wear pink this weekend?
I know. You know, it's funny. I didn't realize that I had the Mass this week and I do. So I just want to thank Father Sean and the chapel for assigning me for this Sunday. But yeah, Gaudete, which is...
It brings out your cheeks.
It does. It does.
Not many men can pull it off and you're one of them.
They can?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it pink? Is it rose? Is it salmon? That's the real debate.
Right.
But I'm comfortable with whatever.
Good.
Right. No, I love it. It's interesting. Again, I love the liturgical calendar. Is it provides us opportunities to focus and to pray and to reflect. So this is obviously the third week of Advent. Gaudete, rejoice.
Yeah,
so
the pink candle.
Yeah, the pink, finally the pink candle.
I know.
The pink candle, which doesn't get enough love because oftentimes people just kind of start forgetting about the Advent candle.
And
the pink, I think so.
All right.
So it's just the invitation for us to rejoice in the midst of everything that's going on. I love the second reading for Mass. It says, brothers and sisters, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. That idea, I mean, that... Yeah, that's something for me at least to think and pray about. Rejoice always in the midst of everything. But that's what the invitation is this week.
And that was written to a church that was being persecuted mm-hmm. pretty violently. I mean, it's important to remember some of the contexts of
and Paul writing that when he's in prison.
And Paul writing it when he's right. in prison.
Other than that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's not this person that's just having everything's going great for him. And yeah, it's a beautiful day and job's good and family's good. Hey, you should rejoice always. No, he's imprisoned. I mean, they're burning Christians. They're persecuting them. There's difficulties. There's challenges in the church. And in the midst of it, Paul just says, rejoice. And not just like every once in a while, like this idea of rejoicing always.
Yeah.
It really speaks to, I think, just the nature of joy. Which is different, even though sometimes in English it's synonymous, but it's different from happiness. Happiness comes from, usually the root word is happenings, something good that happens to you that makes you happy, right? It's based in the moment, it's based in the thing. Joy is not based on the happenings
of
the moment, the circumstances,
right.
What's going on. It's rooted in Jesus Christ. It's rooted in hope. It's rooted in just a faith and a love that only can come from God. And it's undefeatable. You could be in the fire. I mean, you think of the story of the three men in the fire from the book of Daniel.
Mandalorian. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and Mandalorian, right. Yeah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. And, they're in the fire and they are praising God. They're singing this incredible praise. They're joyful. They're just so happy. Paul and Silas, they get imprisoned, thrown into the deepest, darkest dungeon. And what do? Well, they just start singing praise because that's what I would do.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I wouldn't ruminate on, what
this,
a crappy day
turn,
I've
this
had.
This didn't turn out the way I thought it was
right.
supposed to.
No, they're
but
just going to praise.
The same thing with Maximilian Kolbe. They put him in the cell and the guards don't want to go near him anymore because all he's doing is singing and praying. It's like, yeah, this invitation that we have of joy is you alluded, is not circumstantial, but it's in many ways an attitude. It's a decision. It's a choice. It's an act of the will that we are going to rejoice. And again, I was impressed with our students this semester that had to deal with, honestly, in the big picture, not the most difficult things
sure.
for the vast majority of them.
Right.
But being able to celebrate that, I remember one of the days we had to change the meal service because of circumstances, which meant the kids had to just get a their meal and take it back to their room. And some of the kids were frustrated. And one of the kids posted, this is a time to celebrate, a time to rejoice and to thank the Lord that he gives us food, right? And to thank the Lord for people who take care of us and serve us and cook our meals. And that's a sense of rejoicing in the midst of it not being the way I would prefer, not being the way I would want. We're still going to celebrate and give thanks to the Lord.
Jesus said, if we're faithful in small things, we can be faithful in great
Absolutely.
Things. And I think we should take that attitude in terms of rejoicing. Like, can we just rejoice in the small things that are going on in our life? And when we do, even if we face big challenges or whatever the case may be, we can, even in the midst of that, find that just that spirit of joy, that is just so prevalent. And I mean, that's why it's called the good news. I mean, it's the good news of Jesus Christ, that he has taken us from darkness into light, from death into life. And that's, if there's, why wouldn't we be rejoicing at that?
Yeah. You're right. But this is a hard word too.
Okay.
I mean, to rejoice always is a hard word. And obviously I've been praying and thinking a lot about my brother. And there are some things about that that I can rejoice in. Like I rejoice that my brother, we'll see the Lord and that the Lord is merciful and the time we had together and the mass and the confession, the last rites before. But rejoice in everything, like rejoicing that I don't get to see him anymore, right? Mm-hmm. So that's, you wrestle with that. And I realize that this is transformation and this is conversion and trust, but that's, let's not just put that word out there. It says rejoice always that there's something that we wrestle with that as well.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, even in the midst of suffering.
Yeah. So I put that out there.
What was the song? There's a song, Did such joy
Stairway
and sorrow
heaven?
Meet? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I'm forgetting.
Yeah, it's an old hymn, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did such
next week.
Joy and sorrow
stick around.
Meet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a Christmas song, isn't it?
I don't know.
All right, we'll move on. Sorry, I didn't mean to ruin your moment.
Well, I don't know what there's to move on to. You gotta figure out this.
No, I was just trying to talk about the idea of joy and sorrow. You know, that they can coexist.
Yeah.
You know, and together.
Just, again, with that being said, I experienced a closeness to our Lord. One particular kind of a prayer time. It's just by myself. And yeah, so rejoice always. And that's the invitation. I just want to make it clear that that's not always easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not always easy.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, as we come into this Gaudete Sunday, maybe there's things that you are finding difficult to be joyful over. Maybe it's, you know, the holidays can be beautiful, but yep. for many, they can be a big challenge.
Absolutely.
Family difficulties, loss within our lives. And so
just the weirdness of this year, are you going to get together, all of that. But again, the Lord is present in this.
Yeah. And yep. so he's inviting. And whenever he invites, he gives grace. I think Amen. That's always important to remember. Yeah. He doesn't put obstacles in our way, or he doesn't like set the bar so high and he just, you know, laughs as we can't make it. If he says to do it, we can do it.
Amen.
And if he's—
That's a great word.
If he says
to do it, we can do it.
And he's saying through Paul, rejoice always. And if we come to him, and maybe this is a great prayer for Gaudete Sunday, that we just ask God to give us that supernatural gift of joy, that we can truly rejoice in all things, even the difficult things, if we can give that to the Lord. Just let him do the work of it.
Amen. Maybe we'll just close with the psalm response on Sunday. And it's actually, kind of uniquely, it's taken from Luke is our psalm response. And it says, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. And from this day, all generations will call me blessed.
Amen.
Amen. So we just ask the Lord's blessing and his grace to be upon you and your families, that you would know the love of the Lord. Celebrate with Our Lady on this Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe and rejoice in all things on Sunday. Amen?
Amen. Well, thanks, Father Dave, and thank you for joining us. It's such a joy to allow us speak into your ear and into your life, and hopefully a message of hope that comes from God. We'd love to hear your stories of hope or any prayer intentions or anything you'd like to have us share on the podcast. You can email us at hope@franciscan.edu. That's hope@franciscan.edu. God bless.